Today's program was brought to you by craftbeer.com, dedicated to small and independent U.S. craft brewers. For more information, visit craftbeer.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good evening and welcome to
Foment About It
on heritageradionetwork.org. My name is Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Rachel Jacobs.
And Mary is off on a work trip far, far away. We are your co-hosts on this journey of all things fermented.
Posted on iTunes, Stitcher, and heritageradionetwork.com.
.org. The .com feeds to the .org, but we like the .org better. Because
we're crunching. We are an organization, yeah.
Yes. And holy crap, what an amazing weekend. We finally got through the first weekend of New York City Beer Week, and it was incredible. We've been very excited leading up to this because we held the first ever New York City Fermentation Festival of its kind. I mean, Zachary Shulman has Ferment Ferment, which is an annual
ferment. Kind of a potluck.
It's a potluck fermentation festival, which is really super cool. And actually, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary this year.
Ooh.
So that's going to be cool and pretty special. But
lots to look for that coming up.
I bring his name up because I want to give a huge shout out to him and the whole team that helped make the Fermentation Festival groovy, and that was Cheryl Passwater, Zachary Shulman, myself, and John LaPala, who helped organize the homebrewers for it. We benefited justfood.org, and the people who made it possible were the New York City Brewers Guild. We kind of piggybacked on the evening event, but both events were incredibly successful. Also made possible by the event team, Starfish Junction.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They are amazing. And Andy Calamano is just amazing. So on the ball. They made it everything very easy for all of us to kind of execute this thing. I finally threw the party I always wanted to go to, but I was so busy running around organizing and doing things that I didn't get to experience it. But I hope to be able to share a lot of these vendors with our listeners over the next year.
Oh, yeah. So we had a couple of them leading up to the show, and we hope to have a follow-up afterwards with a lot of their
We absolutely
guests.
Will. Yeah. We tried to record our 200th episode at it, but there were too many things going on, too many things to handle. So
too busy organizing.
Anyway, it was totally fun, but here we are. Now it's day four of New York City Beer Week. You can go to nycbeerweek.com to find out more information about what is happening this week.
It's insane.
It's a lot. There's also an app for that, Rachel. Did you know there's an app for
that? I did not. Tell me more about this.
Oh, this app. It was made by Avai Mobile, AVAI Mobile, and it's go to nycbeerweek.com. You can apply for the app, or you can go to just any app store and get it. But it has a calendar of events. It has upcoming events. It has all of the different things happening. All the key events. Among them was the Fermentation Festival, the opening bash, the simultap with the smash stuff. And then there's actually something going on called the Rupert's Cup. It is the third year of the Rupert's Cup Award, and basically, you vote for your favorite New York City brewery, or in the past it's been people out of New York City as well, but so far, the only Rupert's Cup winners have been from Long Island City. So, you know, a little bit of self-interest here. Let's keep this thing in Long Island City. Keep the Rupert's Cup in Long Island City. Don't care which Long Island City brewery you vote for.
But are you qualified yet?
I am not qualified yet, but thanks for bringing that up. Very exciting times for Fifth Hammer.
Yeah, so what's happening with Fifth Hammer? I hear you guys are making your way.
Slowly but surely. But it's all the fun stuff now. So we got the bones in. We have floors again. Like I talked about last week, tomorrow they're coming in to coat the floors. But we got our bar kind of organized. We ended up falling into like these late 1800 bluestone slate slabs that were once a sidewalk for a school in Mount Vernon. And our friend is an architect, and he was on the site. He was like, yeah, we have to take these up because they're not to code. We got to fix it for the kids. And nobody wants these. Do you want them? So we hopped in a van. We got them. They are so heavy. They're so intense, dude. It's
concrete
insane.
Heavy. I didn't.
Well, bluestone, New York State bluestone, and actually, there's a story behind that. A lot of the New York State bluestone that you see on sidewalks and all that, a lot of that was quarried to make way for the waterways coming from the Catskills for New York State. So there's kind of a story in there where the reason that bluestone slate might exist is because they were paving the way to get the water to my brewery.
So we got two good things out of that.
Two good things. I'm getting great water to New York City, and I have these things. Anyway, we laid them out, and they're gorgeous, and they're beautiful, and that's what's happening with that. I'm really excited to get them into and make them a bar. I want to drink on them after I clean it with muriatic acid, of course.
Of course.
Got to clean. People can walk on them. other things. Coming up after New York City Beer Week is over, after we have our Rupert's Cup Award on Saturday the 4th at Barcade, food truck, noon to 3. Come there because it'll be fun. It's pay as you go. Be cool. We'll find out which Long Island City this year brewery, which Long Island City brewery wins it this year.
Now there's more than one, yeah.
Well, there's more than one. There's four.
Yeah.
The fifth will be a fifth hammer, so they say.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, it's kind of just so happens. There's already five breweries in Long Island City, but one of them doesn't have a tap room. So Iconic doesn't have a tap room available. So you can drink their beer, but you can't go to their place. So I'll be the fifth tap room, and fifth hammer will be the fifth tap room in Long Island City, but not the fifth brewery.
Are we gonna put that on a T-shirt or something?
Not the fifth tap room. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to word it. Anyway, when Beer Week ends, the next really groovy event that we're a part of that we're excited about is Winter's Grind. It's our third year doing it. It's going to be at Arrogant Swine. We're going to be celebrating New York City breweries, New York City homebrewers, and New York City made sausages. So it's going to be a giant sausage party with a lot of really great beer. I'm not trying to be, look, everybody's laughing in the studio.
Sorry.
You're probably laughing at home, but it just sounds funny because you guys have dirty minds. That's all. And then the National Home Brewers Competition at Kings County Brewers Collective, Northeast Regionals, we're running on March 24th and 25th. If you are a BJCP judge, please go to brewingcompetition.com and sign up to lend us your palate. And if you are not qualified to judge, but still want to help us make this thing happen, we can use your assistance by stewarding. And you had one other thing, punindrome.
God. If we have any Jewish listeners, you might know that what we essentially call a Jewish Halloween or Purim is coming up. And it's like a silly holiday where you dress up. And my friend Gabriella is the editor of Juicy.com, as I've written some articles for Juicy.com about brewing. And they are putting together the Jewish version of Punderdome. It's going to be at Halyards on, not next Monday, but the Monday after at 8 p.m. So if you really want to, if you've ever wanted to participate in Punderdome and you have a lot of Jewish puns, definitely you should come or you should sign up to be a contestant. So it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really silly. Definitely check it out. It's on Facebook and on juicy.com.
And that has to do with fermentation because they sell lots of really great fermented beer.
Yeah, Halyards is a wonderful, wonderful bar if you've never been there.
Today's episode, I'm so excited for today's episode. Really, really special to me, actually, because we have two of my favorite people in the beer scene that I've known as homebrewers for years. I'm just going to go right into it. Jeff Lyons, thank you for coming to Foment About It today. You are the man. I've known you for a really long time,
how long?
You were very special to me because of some previous experiences that we've had together. But you used to work. Tell us about yourself. Who the hell are you? How did we come to know each other today? How are you here today?
Oh man!
First of all, right now he's a brewer for Keg and Lantern Brewing Company currently. But you've had a long journey getting to there. So.
Absolutely, and you were entirely integral to probably every single piece of it. In some way or another. So I started homebrewing, found the Brooklyn Bruisers Homebrew Club, also found the New York City Homebrewers Guild, and those were amazing outlets to continue to learn at the pace that I was absorbing, like the most rabid sponge that ever existed. Just trying to take all the knowledge I possibly could from all of you experienced homebrewers and somewhat commercial brewers that were attending those meetings And so I believe I met you quickly, briefly, at some point through the Homebrewers Guild. And, yeah, started looking up to you. And yeah.
I'm being serious.
And then, yeah, decided quickly after I started homebrewing that I knew what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
What were you doing before that?
Office jobs, mm-hmm. bunch of nonsense, running messenger centers, things that will kill your soul quickly.
Mm-hmm. But you were a soulful, there you go.
DJed, certainly. That was the fun part. That was the upside. Yeah, so I DJed for a living for a little while.
I've never seen you without a shirt that wasn't with some real hippie. He's wearing a Fela Kuti shirt today. You guys were Miles.
Oh, man.
You're all over the place, man.
This is sort of a thing back and forth with us. Yeah,
your interest is diverse, and of course, as a musician, I dig on that.
Yeah.
Because to me, the parallel of brewing and music is strong. So when you decided that you wanted to do it for the rest of your life, what were your steps from there?
Just dive in, continue to learn as much as I could. Started going at the homebrew at an insane rate. Brewing like 2-3 times a week, which is not for consumption. That's for learning and, mm-hmm. Continuing to push forward and try new things.
Right, because you're not allowed to brew more than 100 gallons per year, so you wouldn't do that, at a household. So you would throw that away because it was a learning experience, right? Because legally, unless you had two people in your house, then you can do 200 gallons.
Well, I did have two people. And
oh, yeah, if you have people in your house every day counting the number.
And I think you can count your cats, correct?
Yeah, of course.
I believe so, yeah.
Voltron cats, like they put them together and they're like...
And if you have an Alexa, she's a person too.
It's pretty but
okay,
scary.
But okay, yeah. But you ended up you started getting you
so,
got a
yeah,
gig.
So we continued plugging away at that. I was trying everything I could to get my foot in the door somewhere. Mm-hmm. And Ben and Danielle at the at Brooklyn Homebrew were the first suckers. No, they were amazing. They gave me a job that allowed me to continue to learn and dive in deeper and make money off of beer and be, a deeper part of this community. And it also allowed me a little bit of freedom of schedule, which let me come and help you out a little bit at 508.
And at Brooklyn Homebrew with Benjamin and Danielle, they were the hub. They were at the time before Bitterness was open. They were the only homebrew club in New York City, and they really did a lot for bringing a lot more people to the New York City brewing scene. And I'm going to say this now because it's New York City Beer Week, and we're really excited about what's been going on here. In 2011, they opened in 2010, maybe 2009, I think. There were only 6 breweries in New York City making beer. Now today there's 26 breweries in New York City, and that's in large part due to the homebrewing scene that has kind of cultivated this growth and the support of it. And so what you were fighting the good fight at Brooklyn Homebrew. And I bring that up to say that you guys also did Brooklyn Wort. You did you guys were able to be pretty experimental, and you were always making different things there and teaching classes.
Absolutely. And to the theme of your show, the heart of your show, it went beyond beer. Beer was the major mm-hmm. part of it, but it certainly went beyond that. But yeah, teaching classes, beginner's classes, all the way up to before I left, I was teaching sour classes and Brett beer classes and things that are a little bit maybe further advanced than just here's how you actually make beer.
Right.
Which was pretty cool, and also a huge leap of faith for Ben and Danielle to let me dive in and try something like that.
I remember when you were doing it, you basically took a bunch of wort and separated it into a lot of different little batches to under the same conditions with different sour inoculations.
Sure, that was sort of the backbone of the class. Mm-hmm. That was the main experiment, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun foreshadowing because there's another guy in the room that kind of gets into a decent amount of that stuff, and you might recognize his voice from episode 128. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Taylor.
Hello.
Heyo. We're gonna come back to you though. Back to Jeff. Okay, so you were able to help me a little bit at 508. Then we closed 508, and all of a sudden there's no place to do anything. And what happened from there?
Another fine gentleman named Chris Prout put me on at Greenpoint. So that kind of goes from the bottle shop and bar, Browery Lane. Eric Olson and Chris Prout were there from before day one, And they spent 5 years sort of cultivating their palate in a excellent bottle shop and bar. And Ed Raven, the owner of that establishment, opened a brewery. In
Browerly.
Greenpoint Beer and Ale. And Chris and Eric made that happen. And very quickly after they got going, realized that they needed a little bit of help. So they brought me on about half the week. I was able to go and learn more at a commercial scale and a little bit larger scale than we were working at 508. And I just couldn't have had two better people to really push the boundaries of, you know, the cutting edge of cleanliness and sanitation and just never cutting a corner, no matter what. Right. Just absolutely doing everything
to
the
hilt. Not like this at 508. So to put this in perspective, first of all, what kind of beers did you like making when you were working at Brooklyn Brew Shop?
Brooklyn Homebrew.
Brooklyn Homebrew, thank you.
My heart certainly started drifting very early on towards sour beer. Mm-hmm. Sour beer, 100% Brettanomyces beer.
And then you worked with me at 508. Oh, so I bring that up to say, and you were doing most of your brewing then on the stove with a gas burner in 5 gallon batches.
Absolutely.
And then at 508 Astro Brewery, we were brewing 1.5 barrels boiling about 70, 80 gallons of wort, yielding probably 1.5 barrels or almost 2 at the end with an electric system.
Yep.
Then you went to Greenpoint Beer and Ales, brewing 5 barrels at a time.
5 barrels, gas fired. Direct fire,
and sometimes doing two batches into 10.
More 10 times than not,
more times
two
than
batches
not.
In so a day. Yeah,
2 batches in a day. So never, never a day after or what?
Only when we. So we have a 5 barrel system there, and at some point, about a year or so into that, we doubled capacity. We brought in 2 20 barrel fermenters, so that's 4 batches that have to be brewed to fill that. So there would be 2 double days consecutively.
Mm-hmm. So you were brewing above ground, then to the basement with me, and then back above ground. And where are you now?
Now we are back in the basement.
Okay. And how many barrels?
We brew at Keg and Lantern. We brew 3 barrel batches at a time. We have 10 fermenters, and so we've figured out a way to sort of step on the accelerator and brew essentially every weekday.
And that's where we are right now. We're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to get back, and we're going to talk about what kind of beers you're making, what kind of interests you have now, and the future of Keg and Lantern, and who you're brewing with, and all that stuff. All right. Forget about it.
Do you love craft beer? The diversity of styles and flavors? The stories of small brewery businesses and the communities behind today's craft beer movement? If so, you'll love craftbeer.com, published by the Brewers Association. Whether you tasted your first craft beer 30 years ago or just caught the bug last week, craftbeer.com is the number one destination for beer education, news, and recipes. Looking for a local brewery? Use the internet's most robust brewery finder to discover your new favorite place. Want to get geeky about your favorite beer style or find the perfect pairing for dinner? Craftbeer.com is the leading authority and can help. Celebrate the best of American beer. Visit craftbeer.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Ferment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is episode 195. Rachel, it's episode 195.
Oh my God, we're five off from our famed 200th episode.
Yeah, which means we have to call Dave Krakow because he's like every 50.
every 50.
Get the mad scientist back in here. Anyway,
tell us about repairing boats and making.
Exactly. We're here in the studio with Jeff Lyons and Brett Taylor, who you might recognize from episode 128, Brett on Brett. Brett Taylor.
Brett.
Come on, say something, Brett.
Hello.
Hey, all right. Let's dive to you just really quick because you now, where do you work now?
I work at Keg and Lantern Brewing Company.
But last time you were here, you were working.
I was a cartographer at the Wall Street Journal.
There you go.
That's
and
very
when
different.
Did you take the leap? And tell us what happened since last time you were on was July 15th. July of 2015, I think. So the journey from there to now?
Yeah,
the plans?
My history is very similar to Jeff's. I mean, just dove into homebrewing and made more beer than I could possibly drink and, you know, got pretty quickly into making sour beer and Brettanomyces forward beers, and that's why I think we're trying to put together the dream team here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been looking for the right opportunity to get into commercial brewing full time. I started working one day a week at Strong Rope Brewery, and Jason's one of my best friends, and so he took me on. I was like his first brewhouse employee, and we did some fun stuff there. And then I kept talking to Jeff, and he was like, every time the third brewer job would open up at Greenpoint, I was like, I'm close, but it's not quite the right time. And then the stars aligned. Danielle and Ben of Brooklyn Homebrew picked up to move to Portland, Oregon. Ben's job was available, and the Keg and Lantern jobs have always been kind of hand-me-downs. There's a direct line of friendship between everybody who's ever worked there, and so that job became available, and I went for it. And at the same time, the Wall Street Journal announced buyouts, so I took it.
Oh, that's pretty all right.
Yeah.
So now you have been, and this is when PJ Allen was there. And where is PJ now?
He's at Westkill, up the Hudson somewhere. He's going to be making a lot of mixed fermentation beers in a good proper farmhouse brewery. And he's at the moment he's helping to install the brew house. He's making pilot batches, and he's making maple syrup. So,
and so now you and Jeff are running the show over there. And what kind of beers are you making, Jeff? What's rolling? Let's open this crowler. One of the first people to have crowlers in the city.
Yeah,
I do have to say before we start, before we get that far, that I'm absolutely stoked, and I think half of the reason that I took this job was to be able to work with Brett.
Yes.
Yeah,
Brett the person, or Brettanomyces, our other friend.
That's just sort of comes with me, no matter where I go.
You can't like shake Brett Taylor's hand without coming away with Brettanomyces.
Brettanomyces and me we're kind of a package deal, so you know if I'm going to be there. So yeah, that was Brett the yeast.
That's double. Yeah, absolutely for both of us.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So.
So at Keg and Lantern, you have 25 lines, right? 25, 26, probably 26, maybe 24.
We have 10 serving tanks.
No. The lines
are top. We have a bunch of kegs as well.
Yeah, I believe we actually have 22 unique lines.
Yes. I'm not saying unique. I'm saying just line taps at the bar. It's 25, I thought, right?
You should go and count.
I think it's 22 and a cask.
Okay, but you have 10 of your own.
I looked at the menu today, actually, for another reason, and we have 17 unique beers of ours brewed in-house online.
Right that's now. Righteous. Well, it's beer week.
And we have other beers offline right now, too.
That's all the time.
This is very regular.
That's
yeah.
awesome. I thought the serving tank split into two, and we're always serving. Doubling up, 20 equal 10 is what I'm saying.
Right.
Nope. But so we have those, and then we have a dozen
on top of that.
Which we have seven of right now, or six of plus a cask.
My head and mind are so buried in the pint before me that I have not noticed.
Yeah, tell us about this crowler that you just cracked open.
So we're fortunate enough to have a crowler machine, which I think that at this point there's less than a handful in the city still.
And that's a portmanteau for can and growler.
You got it. So 32 ounces of hopefully greatness in a
really
very large
can.
Impressive can that would make my hands look like Donald Trump's. And
orange hue going on.
So let's talk about the beer.
This beer that we're pouring right now is called Mistaken Identity. This is brewed or fermented with Saccharomyces toi, Sactois, thus the name. So the quick history of that is that this was sold to homebrewers and commercial brewers as Brettanomyces toi, Brettois, for a number of years, and then they did some DNA coding and realized that it's actually Saccharomyces, even though it behaves and kicks off a lot of flavor, just like Brettanomyces. So, thus the name mistaken identity. But this particular beer actually holds the current record for number of pounds of hops in a brew at Keg and Lantern.
At Keg and Lantern? Yeah.
Certainly
yeah.
smells it that
is,
way.
Yeah, no, it is super hoppy.
We will soon break that record, probably this week, because we did not clog the chiller with this batch.
Oh, that's great.
So that means there's room for more.
Yeah.
Do you have a number on the pounds of hops in this? Oh, God. That many, huh?
Pounds per barrel.
I think there were
12.
12 in the Whirlpool.
12 in Whirlpool. So all flame out hops, nothing earlier in the boil. Flame out, everything goes in, and then I believe we did probably 6 or 9 pounds dry hop. Two or three pounds per barrel.
Per barrel in a 5-barrel batch.
For a dry hop.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's really big. And you're getting a really great play with that Sactoir as well.
Yeah. Really this beer was kind of like it's a little bit of a changing in the guard beer because this is the second time we brewed it. And the first time was PJ and I were sort of, we had the Sactoir. I think he brought it on because he knew I used it a lot. And so we started to make this. You're like, well, how are we going to make this? So I gave him the ingredients that I wanted to use. He picked the ratios. And then in the second time, Jeff like tweaked it all to like Jeff's way of like extra hops all at the end. So it became, so it's actually, it has all three of our fingerprints on this beer.
I love that. I love that there's a piece of all of you in this one. Jeff, when did you take this job?
It's probably been six or eight weeks ago.
6 or 8 weeks?
Yeah, that's probably a stretch. It's probably been 5 to 6 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. We had a quick switch over with PJ, mm-hmm. And before he took off upstate. We just kind of been running full force through walls since then.
The question I was going to go to when I started thinking about focusing on the number of taps you had. At 508, I only had 6 lines, right? I'm very jealous of all the lines that you have right now. There's a lot more room for playing and stuff. But at 508, we did not sell anybody else's beer, do you? You said 17 of them are yours, right?
Yes. So, do you want to know what they are?
Tell
us about the range, because for me, it's hard to find a range that pleases everybody. And then I guess what I'm trying to lead this conversation towards is, is there going to be a shift in where the weight lies by way of styles? I mean, you guys, you know what I'm saying?
I believe, so there's a cider and there are 4 beers that are really widely distributed beers that you'll find in almost any sort of generic bar that you might walk into.
Sure. So that satisfies that customer for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
But I think PJ laid an amazing groundwork of really solid, many sort of brewing classic styles, mm-hmm. Types of beers, just amazingly well executed beers. And I think that we're able to be fortunate enough to stand on his shoulders of what he created and be able to just push forward and be a little bit more state-of-the-art. And sort of, he did a lot of work to get a lot of people into craft beer, mm-hmm. and a lot more flavorful beers. Yeah. And I think that we're the beneficiaries of that, where we can now push those palates even further and try to move beers like this, and it seems to be somewhat successful.
It's awesome. It's awesome. You recently had a collaboration release yesterday. I hung out at your place. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah. So Lineup Brewing, Katerina Martinez, who actually has been a super supporter, I think, of Keg and Lantern, and when I was at Greenpoint, she was super supportive of that brewery as well, and just an all-around fun person to be around. So she is in the process of just getting Lineup Brewing up and going, and we were hanging out at your birthday party, actually, at the Diamond a few weeks ago, and the idea of a collaboration came up and very quickly happened, and so that we could have some extra fun during Beer Week. And we released the beer yesterday. So she came in into our brew house, and we brewed a version of her ESB.
It was really delicious. It is really delicious. You can find it there, and only there, right?
Up till now, yes. I believe that we have one keg that's going over to Banter Bar.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, cool. Otherwise in-house at Keg and Lantern.
My birthday. So you saw me for my birthday, and so there's a club called Cobra. It's a Codgers of I don't know something about it. Real ale. What's the B? I forget the B. Anyway, Codgers. Oh, well. I'm not worthy of this club. Anyway.
We'll look it up and we'll do a correction next
great.
Week.
Great. Thanks. Thank you. Well, I've wanted to be part of this club for a couple years now. Maybe a year and a half. They started this club at the Diamond. Diamond Dave, like he has a real strong appreciation for Cask Ale. And they started this club, and you have to be 40 to be part of the club. At least that's the running joke. So I turned 40 and I bribed my way into the club with one of your Cask Ales or with the bitter that you guys made. I just can't thank you enough, but I want, are you going to continue with Cask Ale over there, and is there going to be a separate direction of what's in the Cask Ale, or is there an expected? Do you have any sort of religion on cask ales and how they should, what they should be?
I do not. I enjoy an absolutely traditional Cask Ale, and I think that PJ really enjoyed that side of things, and I think he experimented a little bit, and I think we will experiment a whole lot. But I will never stop doing very traditional styles, very, you know, very old school style cask ale. There's something beautiful about that.
I stand by my love for you from the beginning of this show. You're very special to me. For this reason, I freaking love cask ale.
It's an amazing thing that is probably done way too little, way underappreciated. Yeah.
PJ, Brett, with PJ, you guys brewed a beer for this year's Smash Ale.
Yeah.
Tell us about what the Smash Ale project is for New York City Beer Week, and then what you guys did.
I actually don't know a lot about it other than to say that it was sort of supposed to be like a simultap kind of situation.
What does simultap mean?
Oh, that means where everybody puts them on kind of at the same time on draft. Although we cheated and put us on a little early.
What?
We tapped it Friday. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, sometimes people make menus up and it doesn't coincide with when things get tapped.
Sometimes you know that Friday's going to be crazy, and Thursday you got to get shit
done. Thursday is the new Friday.
That's right. So the simultap is basically something we started 2 years ago to try and get something cool happening on Friday nights. It wasn't an event that took away from the bars itself. It's the New York City Brewers Guild for Beer Week. And at that time, we were like, okay, everybody make their own beer, whatever it's going to be, and we'll get a special beer to everybody put on at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock on that Friday, drive people to the bars. But at the same time, we started a Smash Ale project, State Malt and State Hop Beer Project, where we basically sent in options from New York State to all the New York City Brewers Guild members. We all voted on what three ingredients of both hops and of malt would be, and we all had to make our own recipe with that. And it wasn't necessarily for simultap, but it was something to celebrate throughout the week of New York City Beer Week. This year, we decided to kind of combine the two. So the simultap part was combined with this Mash Ale project, and so that on Friday, everybody would tap them for the first time, but that's not the only time you'll see them. So that was Friday. Sorry, guys, you missed it, but there's news. There's good news. We still got the Smash Ales all over town. And this year, instead of being three different state malts and three different state hops, they are just one, curated by our friend Jason Saylor of Strong Rope. Who has like the deepest connection between with the New York State farmers with doing malt and hops, and so we had him choose, and that choosing was based on kind of efficiency and ability to get the amount of hops to service the needs. And that's one of the challenges that we find in New York State, both for New York City State farm licensed breweries, is the quantity that we have access to. So that's why the kind was chosen. And what malt and what hops were chosen this year for this project?
So it was New York craft malt, the pale malt, which does get really good efficiency, and it's a pretty tasty malt. And then Willett Cascades, which are nice. You know, I actually find East Coast Cascades, especially Long Island, but to a little bit lesser extent, up you know upstate Western New York, etc. To throw off like a Juicy Fruit kind of character.
Yes, absolutely.
So they're, when handled well, they do some fun things. Ours in particular, we used Sacroix.
You used Sacroix?
Whatever, you
no
know.
No way.
Yeah, who would guess? it follows me around just like Brett does.
So you used Sacroix, and what kind of style are you calling it?
It's a pale ale. It might be the worst attenuation I've ever experienced with Sacroix. Just it didn't really want to get down. Mm-hmm. And we have a tradition at Keg and Lantern that predates me of things going wrong with the smash beer. I know that PJ had his worst stuck mash of all time, making it a couple years ago. This year we had a temperature probe, the tri-clamp on a temperature probe come off, and we just started blasting, you know, just below boiling temperature wort. Jeez, out the back of our
that's horrible
boiled kettle, which
that's fun.
I brilliantly thought I could put my hand over it. Ooh. while and hold it in place while PJ picked up the tri-clamp.
Oh man,
yeah, that lasted about 3.5 seconds before.
That's a long time, dude. Yeah, for burning scalding hot one. That's crazy. How's your hand?
Yeah, it was fine. I was wearing the big long brewer's gloves.
Well, at least there's that, but there's still the heat transfer on that. So I had the pleasure of drinking this beer, and I think it's really cool. I really like it. It is a little under 20 for you know, is what you would expect for Sacroix, but I still think it's delicious. The residual sugars in there kind of make it like this giant hop candy, and it's just kind of like really like kind of like saltwater taffy or caramel kind of thing that is really really hip, and you get that juicy fruit thing from those hops. And dancing from that's just from that Sacroix, so it's kind of really fun. And so I'm really excited for the rest of the week to taste everybody else's what they've done with this malt. And
so where can we find out where to get these?
Oh, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. You go to nycbeerweek.com and you can get the app that says that it's called NYC Beer Week, and you'll have things that if the bars have done their due diligence and thrown on that they have it. Or you can go to Beer Menus. Actually, they're one of our sponsors for our opening bash. They're really great about putting on or bars to have used them for a long time for listing what beers they have on tap. And beermenus.com is a great place to find out what's going on in New York City. Do you guys have any excited beers in the lineup that you're excited to start brewing in the plans and in the creation area? Or even in plans?
I think on both. I think that I have a few things that were sort of points of pride. We were talking about Brett following us, Brett Tanamisi's following us around wherever we go, and that's sort of part of who we are. We finally got a Brett beer in the tanks last week, and that is very close to completion, so that's very exciting. We got some lacto into our boil kettle, into our boil kettle over the weekend. So we have a Berliner Weiss coming very quickly, and many, many quick sour beers to lop on top of our long-term sour beers that we continue to make. And then a brewer's point of pride for me was getting a Pils yeast in and getting a Pils in the tank. So yes. I feel like these are huge steps towards us sort of, like I said, standing on PJ's shoulders on the foundation he provided for us and just kind of running 100 miles an hour forward and sort of putting our own footprints on this thing and continuing to stomp forward.
Yeah. Brett, you're still homebrewing a lot too.
Not as much as I used to.
So I had the pleasure of drinking one of your beers apparently recently.
Yeah.
In Raleigh.
I got some lovely notes back on my goose.
What do you mean?
It was a goose. It got Chris was one of the judges. It was a.
It wasn't one of the ones I shot down. Apparently, thankfully, he was like, "Hey,
you gave me notes on." I mean, you judged my framboise as well, and yeah. I mean, you pointed out some of the same problems that I I knew, though you guys didn't ding me for the THC that was going on.
Okay, well.
THC.
Maybe somebody THC, else had
sorry.
It stronger.
Tetrahydromyrodine.
You know what? Yeah,
I thought that would have made it better.
What does it say about me that I can say tetrahydromyrodine, but I can't get the acronym right?
Yeah, right. There might have been one right before yours that was like super heavy, and so yours might have been light in comparison. Yeah.
Tetrahydropyridine, by the way, is the Captain Crunch or the sort of corny breakfast cereal note that happens in young sour beer.
So young sour beer.
Yes.
Are there other methods to prevent it that you know?
Do
you think it's kind of a confusing area for a lot of
people? Yeah, because the science is not well. Nobody's studying it that closely. It's basically people on the Milk the Funk, you know, probably are the experts on it. And it happens at bottling time, generally at packaging time. And I presume it's some sort of oxidizing effect, but it goes away. Brett scrubs it out.
Generally ages out. So if you have those at home, sit on it.
Just wait.
Yeah. Stop serving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said on both accounts, Jeff, back to that other question.
Yeah. So we don't have anything definitive, but we, as a company, are certainly putting a full force search on for a new, larger location in which to be able to brew more beer at once, and therefore more beer in general. So we seem to be fairly close, but no news as of today. But yeah, we should be able to open a 10-barrel facility certainly by the end of the year. We're hoping for in the next 6 months.
And we plan to bring lots of sour beer too.
Ooh.
There are fooders waiting to be ordered, which makes my heart sing.
Yeah.
I love this. I think that's about the time that we have. But
Where
Brett,
can we find you on the internet, guys?
We certainly have a website for Keg and Lantern.
Thank you.
There's a Facebook. There's an Instagram. And
it's at Keg and Lantern, right? Yes, it's at
yes,
Keg and Lantern. But yours is DJ.
DJ Offbeat DJ is Offbeat. My Instagram, and you can find me on Facebook that way as well.
And Brett, you're beers nerd.
Perfect.
it's such a pleasure to have you back on the show, Brett.
And, pleasure
and
to be
I'm
here.
So happy and proud that you made the leap and that you took that freaking package because I think that you're just going to make life taste better joining this team and keep doing what you're doing, Jeff, because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
I love you so much.
I mean, I love you too, Brett, so much. Both
love
of you.
Right back at
so
you.
So much. Thanks for joining us on Foment About It. Hit Keg and Lantern there. What's the address of Keg and Lantern?
We are 97 Nassau Avenue in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Steps from the G train stop, like literally the same block.
Yep.
And it's a great walking tour to do that. Greenpoint Beer and Ales,
absolutely.
Brooklyn Brewery, Terst is right there.
That's right.
Beer Street is not far either. There's so much good stuff in there.
There's a Shane Famous Foods around the corner. I mean,
and there's a brewery going to open up about 10 blocks north of you guys too, probably in the next few years. I'm not sure how public knowledge that is, but we will talk about that at a later date. It's exciting stuff.
Ooh,
love you all. Happy Foment About It. Beer Week. Well, the New York City Beer Week.
Happy New York City Beer Week, which we were sponsoring.
Yes. New York
we'll
City Beer Week.
We'll be around, certainly.
See you soon.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.